Welcome to Go to the Word radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 91. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
God was seen in the minutiae of every movement that was going on in the tabernacle worship. In fact, I think it's Zechariah where the Bible says that the people of the priest, and it's got Joshua the high priest, and God puts a new clean garments and puts his sin away and everything. And God's messenger tells the prophet, he says, these are men to be wondered at. Think about that. Because they were shadows. And they would go over and over the same movements every time they did their sacrificial services for the people of God. And so they were men to be wondered at. And the most secret place in the tabernacle worship was the Holy of Holies. But you got to the holy place inside the first curtain. And when you'd go in there, you'd see the altar of incense, which spoke of prayer. You saw the golden candlestick, which had seven candles. And we don't really get a full understanding of that till we get over into the New Testament. And that was speaking of how God was going to have seven churches. And they were going to be the churches of the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And I won't go into that because I really love doing that. I'm going to behave, okay? I'm going to stay on point. They had the showbread, which was the bread of the faces, which is speaking of the tribes of Israel. In fact, every one of the tribes was supposed to bring one of those loaves from their midst, okay? And they brought it each week. You remember David ate the showbread. Well, that was them being represented. So they're on one side, the church is on the other. You've got the altar of incense, and you've got these movements the priests would go through inside. Inside there, tooling and changing and exchanging and all of the things that were going on. And when it says dwells, they could not physically dwell there, but in their mind they could. Listen, you want to know what the secret place is today? It's the Word of God. You can dwell there every day. The Bible says that the man who's blessed of the Lord is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. Whatever he does prosper. What makes him different? The Bible says he meditates in God's Word day and night. And therefore, his leaf will never wither. If you have your mind around God's Word, you will be able to navigate anything. You'll be able to navigate any plague. You'll be able to navigate any pestilence. You'll be able to navigate any crisis. Even in death and separation, the Bible says, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. But you see, we understand that we're all going to have a grand reunion again. We understand that Jesus is on the throne and he's got everything in his hands and under control, and he's okay with what's going on. He's allowed it. And there's reasons why he allowed it. That's something we need to consider. Do you know there's a battle that's constantly going on to keep you away from that secret place? Yeah. And you know what's funny? Not ha-ha funny, but, you know, kind of weird kind of funny, is that he's been very successful. Has crossed the nation. People are relatively biblically illiterate. They don't know their Bibles because they haven't needed to know their Bibles. The Bible teaches us that there's a battle that goes on in the soul of those who do not know their Bibles. And so you have to understand in Psalm 91, it's a conditional psalm. There are people on the radio, they love to tell you, just like a prosperity preacher, that this is for you. You're a Christian and this is your psalm. It's not your psalm if you're not dwelling in the secret place. It's not yours. If you're not dwelling there, you're outside of the secret place and you're dancing, chasing butterflies, and there's a wolf out there and he loves to get the lamb. And you know, a lot of people don't even like to go to church anymore. And I think that's fine for them because they're just thinking, well, I'm smarter than God. God didn't know what we needed. I mean, yeah, you know, I need to meet that person who's smarter than God. God said he will build his church. The gates of hell won't prevail against him. But they've already said, no, I don't need church. You say, well, how much church? Well, you say, you have too many church services. You know what's funny about that? They met every day. Go back to the book of Acts. They met every day. If we meet 2-3 times a week, I mean, that's nothing. And there's a bunch of us who really struggle with this because, you know, sometimes it gets pretty thin. May I suggest to you that you remember that on Wednesday night we're here during this whole thing. We've been here. We've been here praying for our church and our people and the country. And don't you think it's time to pray? We hear the verse, right? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Aren't you amazed that that's a truth that we all just sit back and say amen to? But in reality, yes, you can pray at home. But what about coming with the Bibles, with the saints of the Lord? What about being around God's people? About iron sharpening iron, reminding ourselves to come off of the ledge of despair, come off of the ledge of terror and worry and fear. How do you do that? You do that by getting the Word of God open. We're in the book of Philippians. Do you know what the book of Philippians is titled by most people? The Epistle of Joy. Isn't that a good place to be in the midst of a pestilence? We're in the Epistle of Joy. And what you find out about the Epistle of Joy is that there are impediments to joy. And you begin to go through chapter by chapter as we've been going, section by section. And we've learned some things about God and how His way is to get us through the times where our joy is being hammered overtly. Not just circumvented, but overtly under assault. First Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." You know what he's saying? He's saying you can save your soul from a war. By what? By abstaining. So he gives us that. You have a need to be in the shadow of the Almighty. You're not there if you're involving yourself overtly in fleshly lust. James 1:21 says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." I love that statement, superfluity of naughtiness. It means something that's superfluid. Do you know when you get into, the word really does say what it is. When you get into something that's naughty, it'll take you a lot further than you meant to go. Right? It will. The superfluity of naughtiness. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word." Right? We talked about the secret place, the engrafted word, "which is able to save your souls." Interestingly enough, he's talking to his brethren. He says brethren in a verse or two before that. And he's saying, brethren, your souls still need saving. There's a song out there today. It's a contemporary song. It says, "Lord, please keep saving me." It's not that I need to be saved in the sense of ultimate salvation. That happens once and done. Positionally secure. Positionally perfect before God. There's no condemnation. God sees me. We are made the righteousness of God in Him who died for us. That's what's true. However, there's this progressive thing, and boy, that can be rough. If you've ever been perhaps on some rapids. How many of you have ever ridden the rapids on one of those rafts? You get on the rafts, go down the... We did that with young people, and some people were just funny to watch. So we had one gal, she was in a fun yak. She didn't want to go with everybody. She said, "I'll handle this." She's going down backwards and floating, you know, everything. So you see it, and that's the way many Christians look. They're going down backwards. They don't have any control of the paddle. They don't know how it is to be. The Bible says that you can save your souls by laying apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. And in receiving the engrafted word, James 5:20, "Let him know," and this is talking about helping people get out of the mess of their own sin. He says, "Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." You say, isn't he talking about evangelism? No, he's talking about the brotherhood. This is the same place where it says, "If any among you is sick, let him call for the elders." And he says, "He confess his sins," and all that. He's saying, listen, you and I have a responsibility to be our brother's keeper. And as our brother's keeper, we begin to help people get their lives straightened around. And sometimes people get so twisted up and bent up that they need to call somebody to help them work it through. That would be like calling a number of people that are your friends, because it says elders, not one, and you bring them in and say, "I'm going to lay everything out on the table. Maybe you guys can help me make sense of it. I don't know if I've sinned. I don't know if the heavens are brass because I've done something. Please help me because I'm really a mess right now." And people have to go quite far many times to ask people to come in on that mess, right? That's something people don't do very often. Our pride forbids it. But in the body of Christ, you can get so wrapped up that you have no song. That's why the Bible says, if any of you are sick, let him pray. And the word sick means weak. And it says, if any of you are joyful, let him sing psalms. I'm not sure that's the exact word there, but it's the idea. Because once you get freedom, you get your song back. So if you've lost your song, it may be the need to get down on your knees and say, "Lord, search me and know me." So I tell you, the Holy of Holies is where the secret place is in the shadows. The Holy of Holies now is your Bible. You get to go in and see everything. Nobody had the clear picture of what's going on. Man, we get it in fine detail. We can build an ark down in Kentucky because we have a blueprint that's set forth deliberately. They built it to scale. It can take your breath away. By the way, if you're hankering for a road trip, they're opening June 8th without masks, may I say. Okay, so that's going to happen down in Kentucky. So we see that the Bible tells us that this is a conditional promise for a person who literally understands there's a secret place, and that secret place is somewhere they have chosen to dwell. Not just visit once in a while. They're going to settle down there. This is going to be in their mind. They meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Doesn't mean you always have your Bible cracked. It means everything you do, everything you see, you run it through the grid work of God's Word, and you make a decision about what you think is going on around you. What do you think right now is going on in our world? If you know your Bible, you know your eschatology, and you know there's a one world government coming, and you know that there's an Antichrist coming, and you know and you know and you know, you can begin to sit down and grab that cup of coffee after all, because you've been trying to decaffeinate because you're so freaked out. You can grab that cup of coffee after all, and you say, I'm good, because I know this is right on schedule. Everything's doing exactly what he said it was going to do. We've been preaching in this church for years that there had to be something that made America buckle at the knees. Somehow bring us down. And I want you to know that they are trying with every bit of exertion to bring America down right now. The entire world is arrayed against us. And there is only one human man right now who's saying, the churches will be open, see me. Because many of these governors, the majority of them, as I understand it, are saying churches got to be closed and bars and abortion clinics can be open. You go figure. That celebrates death and that denigrates life. Because we are the conduit of life in this society. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where people find Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't shut out the life. The life cannot be squelched. The light cannot be overcome. The Bible says the light shone in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it, right? It can't overcome the light. Jesus is the light of the world. You and I now, by connection with him, are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. You say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be putting on airs. Rain on that. Be a Christian. You don't have to even think about it. We talked about it recently, didn't we? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. Okay? It's really just doing and being. The Beatitudes are what you become, not what you aspire to try to do. You don't try to be merciful. You become merciful because you see people in their pitiful condition of lostness. So I say to you, these are passages you need to know. The secret place, where is it? The Bible says in Luke 17, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible says that we have the kingdom of God within us. And you understand that wherever the king is, that's where the kingdom is. You know, if our president is over on a foreign soil, wherever he is, America is there. Because if somebody takes him out, they've created an act of war. And when somebody comes against the child of God, they're coming against the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus arrested Paul on the road to Damascus. And what did he say? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. He was persecuting the church. He was compelling people to blaspheme the name of Christ. He was going after the church. Why are you persecuting me? Why is it you hate Jesus so much? Now, I'm not going to say everybody who's a Christian is a poster child for Jesus, but God says love your enemies to the Christian. So even that is something to get a mind around. You're not supposed to hate on anybody because we're all pitiful down here. We need Jesus.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.